I got to apologize to two groups of people today. Number one, I apologize to Benson. I was supposed to be at the Benson campus today, but as you're going to hear in a moment, God told me I needed to be here because I got to share my heart. I also want to apologize if you brought a guest today. Guests come back next week. It'll be a little different, but church, this isn't just us. This is a church in America. We have lost the fear of God in the church in America. The fear of God is so important. In fact, Jerry Bridges in one of his books says, you know, if you're going to have a devotion to God, you got to have three things. Number one, you've got to have a desire for God. I don't know about y'all. The longer I live, I just want to be in the presence of God. I just want more of God. You got to have a desire for God. You've got to have a love for God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But you got to have the fear of God as well. Take any one of those things out, the devotion to God collapses. John Bevere, who's written a great book, I don't recommend a lot of newer books, but his is one that I do recommend. It's called The Awe of God. We're selling it in our bookstore. John Bevere visited Jim Baker. Y'all remember Jim Baker, the evangelist? Visited Jim Baker. And he said, I was given 90 minutes in this little room where you can visit the inmates. He said, Jim Baker walked in with his prison jumpsuit on. He said, I began to talk to him. We had a great conversation. And he said, I finally asked Jim, he said, look, I hate to ask you this question, but Jim, when did you fall out of love with Jesus? He said, I didn't. He said, well, no, you committed mail fraud. You did this, you did that. You had an affair with a church secretary. When did you fall out of love with Jesus? Hey, he said, John, I didn't fall out of love with Jesus. In the midst of all that mess, I loved Jesus. He said, what I lost was the fear of God. I had the love of God, but I had lost the fear of God. You gotta have love and fear. John the disciple is an example of this. In the Gospel of John, over and over and over again, John gives himself a nickname. You ever know what the nickname is? I'm the disciple Jesus loved. Sounds a little cocky, doesn't it? At the Last Supper, John is sitting next to Jesus, and this is how close he is to Jesus. He leans his head over on Jesus' chest. John, the disciple who Jesus loved. 60 years later, John is on the island of Patmos. Jesus shows up again, but now he's not the humble carpenter from Nazareth. The Bible says in Revelation 1, his eyes were a flame of fire. A sword was coming out of his mouth. His feet were like burnished bronze. His voice was like that of rushing waters. And John said, when I saw him, I fainted and fell over like a dead man. I was so terrified. The love of Jesus and the fear of Jesus. Now, why do I think we've lost, now this is not just bashing our church. I think overall the church in America, we've lost the fear of God. Chad, why would you say that? Part of it's just a pastoral sense that I have. Part of it is we wander into the sanctuary with our breakfast burrito. I've heard of people during my sermon or during the worship, people having to tell them, can you turn down the YouTube video that you're watching? They're watching YouTube in the middle of our worship service or checking their Instagram. Then they leave, and the head of our parking team says, yeah, we get cussed out. Here's what he said. Regularly, people leaving this church cussing us out because we're trying to direct traffic, and people don't want to be told where to go. I said, whoa, you getting cussed out? Yeah, I'm getting cussed out. Would you listen to me? If you can't leave our church without cussing out my parking team, you need to find yourself another church. This is not the church for you, okay? Chad, what if they're lost people? And should we give them permission to cuss? No, there's a lot of other churches that preach the gospel around here. You can't leave this church and cuss out my parking team. So let me get this straight. You wander in eating your breakfast sandwich, you check your Instagram, you leave cussing my parking folks, and a lot of y'all go home to where you live with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and you're asking me why I think we may have lost the fear of God? Church, we're losing it. And the greatest job hazard for full-time Christian workers like me or the other pastors on staff. Here's our greatest job hazard. We get casual with God. We deal with holy stuff day in and day out, and we get used to it. It's dangerous. Even the way we address God sometimes makes me cringe. Etymologically, Abba, Romans 8, I know the Holy Spirit cries out Abba. Abba does not mean dada. That's etymological, that's not correct. I'm hearing Christians, even Christians here, call God dada or daddy. He's not your dada. He is the awesome, almighty, eternal God of the universe. That's who you're dealing with. And in the Bible, when God would appear to his people, same thing would happen over and over again. When God appears to Abraham, Abraham is filled with fear and he falls with his face to the ground. When God appears to Moses at the burning bush, it says Moses hid his face out of fear of God. When Isaiah met God, he cries, "Woe is me, I'm an undone man. I'm a dead man because my eyes have seen the holy God of the universe and I'm an unholy man." That's what happened when they met God. When we meet God, we yawn, check our watch, and scroll through our Instagram. It's a little bit different than the biblical way of meeting God. Church, we've lost the fear of God. Now, Chad, what do you mean when you say we've lost the fear of God? What is the fear of God? Well, let me just say this. We believe God is omnipresent. You know what I mean by omnipresent? God is everywhere. So we have the omnipresence of God, but we also have what we call here the manifest presence of God. That's where God breaks through in a powerful way. I know God is everywhere, but the manifest presence of God is when he breaks through and the hair on the back of your neck stands up and you begin to see miracles and you realize the presence of God is here and you begin to weep uncontrollably because you're in the presence of God. That is the manifest presence of God. Am I the only person in this place who hungers for the manifest presence of God? You want to know how to have the manifest presence of God? Here's what the Bible says, Psalm 89:7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. Is this the assembly of the saints? Absolutely. Therefore, God is to be feared in this place. Leviticus 10:3, God says, "But those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy." All right, Chad, what is the fear of God? When I mean the fear of God, if you're a born-again believer, that means to be in awe of God, reverential toward God. This is the God of the universe. He is so holy. He is so righteous. He is so mighty. I am nothing compared to him. There's this sense of awe with which we hold God. That's part of the fear of God. In fact, this is kind of interesting. Our son. Do you know our son can contain, I want you to listen to this, 1.3 million planet Earths in our son. 1.3 million, now Earth is big, 25,000 miles at the circumference, but the sun can contain 1.3 million planet Earths. Yet in our relatively small galaxy alone, there are between 200 and 400 billion suns just in our galaxy. Our one sun can hold 1.3 million planet Earths, and yet there are 200 to 400 billion suns just in our little galaxy. And our little galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, is just one of 2 trillion galaxies in the universe. And yet the God that you pray to and the God that you worship knows every atom and every molecule of every piece of that universe spinning around. That's the God we serve. So part of fearing God is to hold him in awe. But there's more than that. Would you turn to Luke 12? In Luke chapter 12, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He ain't talking to lost people. And he has the same teaching in Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus says in Luke 12, talking to his disciples, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Three times in verse 5, Jesus uses the word fear. Fear God, fear God, fear God. You think Jesus is trying to tell us something? Now, it's interesting. It says, fear him who has the power to cast into hell. If you're using the NIV or the New Living Translation, it says, fear him who has the power to cast you into hell. You is not in the original, which tells me this. If you and I are like the disciples, we are born again believers. The Bible says we have passed from death into life. There is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. If Jesus said, fear him who can cast you into hell, that would tell me I live my life motivated by fear. That's not what he's saying. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, yeah, you're my disciples. You're my friends. We're children of God. But you need to be reminded of who you're dealing with. We are dealing with the being who has the power to send human beings into hell for all eternity. And hell is a place of eternal, conscious torment. I can conceptualize being in hell for maybe 100 years. That's horrible. I can conceptualize being in hell for 1,000 years, a million years. Can I tell you what I cannot conceptualize? I can't imagine being in a place of eternal, conscious torment forever. It never ends. There is no closure. And Jesus is saying, yes, he's your father. Yes, he loves you. But you're dealing with an awesome being that has the power to do something unimaginable. Maybe you've gotten a little bit too comfortable around him. Let me illustrate this. A couple of years ago, my family and I went to Georgia on a beach trip. And they said a hurricane was going to come in. So we're there waiting for the hurricane to hit. And then the forecast changed. And instead of the hurricane coming right at us, it went right up the coast, ended up hitting Charleston, South Carolina. But I said, man, I'm going to see this hurricane. So I got up early the next morning. I walked on the beach. Nobody else on the beach. And as I'm walking on that beach, I can't describe to you the waves. First of all, they were deafening. And I'm like, there's no way you could get out in that water. You'd die. And I remember we got a little picture, it kind of reminds me of this. I remember looking way off into the distance and I could see the clouds circulating out there. And they were scary. And the wind was picking up. And the thing that I'll never forget is the lightning coming down from those clouds hitting the water. And I said, there's no way a human being could survive out there. I'll be honest with you, it was one of the most beautiful things I had ever seen and one of the most terrifying things I'd ever seen. And this may sound weird, but part of the beauty was how terrifying it was. And what Jesus is saying is, you serve a wonderful, beautiful, almighty God, but he is a terrifying God. He is an awesome God. He is a powerful God. And you need to talk to him like he's a terrible, awesome, mighty God. In fact, Dorothy Sayers says this. She says, we have declawed the Lion of Judah and we've made him a house cat for puny priests and pious old ladies. He is not a house cat. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who stepped out of the tomb and crushed the head of the serpent, who ascended to the right hand of God, who's coming back again one day. That's who we serve. I want you to listen to me. This is not Chad being mean, and this isn't Chad in a bad mood. This isn't Chad off his medications. That's not what this is. This is Chad who's been told by God, I love y'all so much, I want to give you some correction this morning. And the love of God is wonderful, and the fear of God is great. And did you know there are more promises attached to the concept of the fear of God than any other concept in the Bible? Did you know that? I want to say that again. There are more promises attached to the fear of God than any other concept in the Bible. Let me just give you a couple. Number one, well, listen to this. Isaiah 33:6 says this, the fear of the Lord is God's treasure. Treasures aren't bad things. Treasures are good things. The fear of the Lord is God's treasure. Here's what it says in Isaiah 11:3, the coming Messiah. Anybody know who that is? Jesus will delight in the fear of God. Let me give you some benefits to returning to fearing God. Number one, the fear of God abolishes anxiety. Have you noticed this? Everybody's anxious today. Everybody's on anxiety medication. Everybody's scared. I wonder if there's a correlation that with the lack of fear of God in our society, anxiety has gone up. I want you to listen to me right now. There is a correlation between the fear of God and anxiety. The more you fear God, the less anxious you are. Chad, where do you see that in the Bible? Well, let me give you a couple. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. How would y'all like to trade your anxiety for strong confidence? In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Let me give you another one. I guarantee y'all probably never even read this before. God gave this to me for me a couple years ago. Isaiah 8:12. This is powerful. Isaiah 8:12. Don't call everything a conspiracy like they do. You know what that means in 2026? Don't call everything a conspiracy. Stop listening to Candace Owens. I thought when it came out that Candace said the CIA got the secret of time travel from the ancient Sumerians and I engage in necromancy, I communicate with the dead, I thought, good, they'll stop sending me Candace Owens stuff. No, y'all keep sending me stuff, which tells me this is the most undiscerning generation in the history of mankind. Anyway, all right, so don't call everything a conspiracy and don't live in dread about what frightens them. Make the Lord of heaven's army holy in your life. He is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you safe. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but the more you return to the fear of God, the less you worry about anything. In fact, I love how Charles Spurgeon put it. Spurgeon says, the fear of God is the death of every other fear. Like a mighty lion, the fear of God chases all of the other fears before it. The fear of God abolishes anxiety. Number two, the fear of God helps us to fight sin. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let me ask you something. Those of you who say, that's an Old Testament concept. Is 2 Corinthians 7:1 in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the what? Fear of God. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 3:7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 16:6, by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. The Bible's trying to tell us something. When you begin to fear God, it helps you to fight sin. Why? I'm so tired of this. I'm tired of every day checking the news and it's another pastor who's been found in bed with somebody else's wife. You know why that's happening? Because even we pastors have lost the fear of God. Sir, if you believe God was with you in front of that computer at 2 o'clock in the morning, the holy God of the universe that can send souls to burn in the devil's hell forever, if you believe that that God was sitting right next to you, do you think maybe that would help you curb your porn addiction? The fear of God helps us to fight sin. Since I'm losing you, let me just get through this real quick here. Calm down, it's almost over. Number three, the fear of God brings, I want you to listen to me, material blessings. Proverbs 22:4 says this, by humility and the fear of the Lord are, okay, you have humility and the fear of the Lord, here's what you're gonna get, riches, honor, and life. Psalm 34:9. Those who fear God lack nothing. Do you see that? The fear of God, it just doesn't bring spiritual success. Yeah, it also brings temporal, earthly success. Why is that? Why does the fear of the Lord bring earthly riches? Well, Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the fountainhead, the beginning of what? Wisdom. I want you to follow my logic. I start fearing God, Proverbs 9:10 says, I'm gonna start having divine wisdom. I'm gonna start making decisions from God's vantage point, not my vantage point. I start fearing God, I have wisdom, I will now know I can't purchase that. That's outside of my budget. How do I know that? Because I now have God's wisdom and I don't purchase that and it brings riches, honor, and life. I fear God, now I have his wisdom and I know that hunk of man that I think is so attractive and great, wisdom of God says, but you notice, he doesn't hold the door open for you. He makes you pump the gas while he sits in the car. He may be a hunk, but he's a jerk. Don't marry him. And the wisdom of God tells me not to marry him, and now I have riches, honor, and life. You see what I'm saying here? And so the wisdom that comes from God produces all these blessings. Where's that wisdom come from? The fear of God. Number four, the fear of God. I'm just scratching the surface. I could give you a dozen more. Here's another blessing of the fear of God. The fear of God brings closeness to God. Some of y'all say, man, I feel so far from the Lord right now. Now, it could just be a season that you're going through. We all go through those seasons. But can I give you the secret to being close to God and God giving you insights that he doesn't give other people? I'm going to give you the insight right now. Here's the key. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Now that Hebrew word secret is sod, S-O-D. Okay, here's what it means. It means a couch. You say, how do you get secret from couch? The couch of the Lord is with those who fear him. Here's the implication. Implication is God is sitting on this couch and he says, I want to share my insight with somebody. I want to be close to somebody. Her, she fears me. Honey, come and sit by me on this couch. I got some things I want to share with you. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. God, I don't know what direction to go in my life. Do I go to this college or that college? Do I choose that career or this career? God says, young man, come and sit by me on the couch. I know you. You fear me. You honor me. You respect me. I'm going to share something with you that I don't share with other people. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. I could go on and on. Let me give you one more. This is not in your study guide. The fear of the Lord, watch this, brings protection to your family. I'm going to say it again. I'm not saying this to twist the knife. We are dealing in the most anxious society ever recorded. The Gallup folks say that our depression and our anxiety, they'll tell you this, we have never measured this level of anxiety before. And a lot of you parents are worried about your kids. What kind of world are they going to grow up in? Is Iran going to nuke us? Is this going to happen? We've got so many parents living with anxiety. Can I tell you how you can have God's protection over your family? Psalm 34:7 says this, the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and he defends all who fear him. Hey, parents, raise a family that fears the Lord. Create a God-fearing family. If you do, God sends his angels to your house, stands guard over your house with a flaming sword, and the demons try to come in, and the angel of God says, no, you can't come into this place. The angel of God will be walking beside your car as it goes down the interstate. The angel of God will stand guard over your cubicle. The angel of God stands guard around those who fear God. Why would you not want these blessings and so much more? And so to pastors at this church and to pastors online, we have a lot of pastors who watch us online. It's time that we return to the fear of God. Leviticus 10, and I'm not trying to be funny when I share this with you. Leviticus 10 tells a story of two pastors that were struck dead by God because they got a little too familiar with God. A little too casual in their service with God. James Denny, a great old preacher, said this, pastors, you can't be cute and God magnificent at the same time. I think we got a lot of cute pastors who are trying to entertain people, trying to make people laugh and trying to let everybody have a good time. I want people to have a good time. I want people to enjoy the Lord. But at some point, we pastors have got to understand if we're going to approach God and serve God, we have to have clean hands and a pure heart and maybe be like Isaiah say, people who tremble at the word of God. Yes. To some of y'all here, I love you, but you call yourself Christians. And when you leave this sanctuary today, as a lot of you here, you're gonna go back home and live with your boyfriend or girlfriend and you claim to be a Christian. Can I tell you what's happened? You've lost the fear of God. My wife and I don't know where, what, a couple weeks ago, months ago, something, we were watching. I said, you know what, let's just do a movie. Let's watch a movie. I don't know if it's Netflix or Prime. I don't know what it was. I don't even know the movie. I don't care. We started watching it, and we're just settling in to kind of veg out. And whatever actor it was said, Jesus blanking Christ. I don't know how the movie ended, because I cut it off, and I said, we're not listening to that. Why would I listen to this in this house? Now, I'm asking you a question. Why are you listening to that stuff in your house? Chad, that's how Hollywood talks. Yeah, but I'm not going to pay Hollywood to blaspheme the name of the one who died for me, who's coming back again one day, at whose name every knee will bow in heaven and earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. I'm not going to pay Hollywood. Why am I paying Hollywood to do that to my Lord Jesus? But see, we tolerate that. And the stuff that would make our forefathers in the faith blush, we laugh at now. Let me give you a little secret. If Satan can make you laugh at something, then you no longer fear that something. With will and grace, let's kind of laugh at alternative lifestyles. Now we've come to accept it, and it's not that big a deal, and God's a loving God, and it doesn't matter. If Satan can make you laugh at it in Hollywood, you'll no longer fear it. And he's making some of y'all laugh at the name of Jesus, and that's why you no longer fear the name of Jesus. We got to get back to the fear of God. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking. Well, Chad, you'll never grow a church if you keep talking about things like the fear of God. Your church is you're going to lose people. Well, several things. I need to lose people. That's number one. And number two, I never thought I'd pastor a church this big. This is already bigger than I thought. Here's what I'm trying to say. I sounds cavalier. I don't care. Sorry. Because one day I'm going to stand before the God of the universe, and he's not going to ask me how many. He's going to ask me what kind. Not how many people you had. No, what kind of people did you build up in this church? And secondly, how many times have you heard me say, I want a New Testament church like the book of Acts? Have you heard me say that before? Acts chapter 5, verse 11. Acts Old Testament or New Testament? New Testament. After God strikes down two church members who lied in church, it says in Acts 5:11, so great fear came upon the church. Acts 9:31, Old Testament or New Testament? And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And I think the sequence is important. The early church walked in the fear of the Lord. And as a result, they were visited by the Holy Spirit. And as a result, they were multiplied. Maybe I'm misjudging society. But I think our society is tired of feel-good, rock and roll, good time Christianity. Let's just be 1,000 miles wide and 1 inch deep. I think our society is tired of that. I think our society wants to experience the real, authentic, genuine presence of God. And this ought to be the one place where our society can come in and say, I may not believe with everything they believe, but God is in that place. God is in that place. So let me close with this. God's been doing this for a while, but he kind of summed it up last night. He spoke to me. Now, y'all understand when I say God spoke to me, it's not audibly. You do understand that. Chad, what do you mean when he speaks? I get these very strong impressions that have to line up with the word of God, okay? Can't contradict the word. But I wrote it down. I sense God say, Chad, I want this church to be marked by holy fear of God. Chad, so much of what you've been asking for as a pastor will be unlocked by the fear of God. I mean, look, I've been praying for revival. Anybody else hungry for revival in our land? Do you know that the fear of God unlocks revival? I can take you back to the first great awakening in the 1700s, where a church like this gathered together, and a pastor named Jonathan Edwards preached a terrifying sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and it messed the people up so much, they're screaming out as he's preaching because they're so afraid of the fear of God, and as a result, revival exploded, and one-third of America got saved as a result of that revival. Chad, you've been praying for the manifest presence of God in this place. Chad, the fear of God unlocks the manifest presence. Again, Psalm 89:7, God is to be feared in this assembly. I've been praying for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. How many of y'all want supernatural healings in this place? Am I the only one? The fear of God unlocks supernatural healing. Let me give you a verse right now. I don't ever forget, this is a powerful verse. We skip over this verse. Proverbs 3, 7 through 8. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Did you just read what I just read? Fear God and turn away from evil. And you're going to experience supernatural healing from God. And it says even in your bones. I take the Bible literally. So I was praying over that tonight and this morning. I sense God say, Chad, there will be women healed of osteoporosis in this service today because the fear of God brings healing to the bones. I believe there's going to be people with ulcerative colitis. I don't know why I'm feeling that, but some kind of digestive thing. You can be healed in this place today. As the fear of God settles, we're going to see supernatural signs and wonders. There's going to be somebody healed today of migraine headaches. We're going to see God's fear descend upon this place. And if Proverbs 3 is true, and it is, healings are going to follow. Church, maybe this is just for me. I've got to return to the fear of God. I've gotten a little too casual with God. And today I want to repent before a holy God. And I want to begin walking in the fear of God. And I want to start experiencing all these blessings and more. Am I the only one? Hey, stand with me right now. Stand with me. Here, all the campuses. God help me. Father help me. If you, like me, want to return to the fear of God, if you want to come clean with a holy God and say, God, I've been a little too casual, come and join me right down front. And if we have too many people, we can just go into the aisles as well. It doesn't matter. But am I the only person that needs to return to a holy fear of God? I'm going to say it again. God said to me, Chad, I want this place marked, branded by a holy fear of God. And the way back to God always begins with the same three words. I have sinned. So I want you to lift up hands and close your eyes just so you can kind of zone out everybody else here. I want you to pray this to God right now. Say this to God. Father, I repent of my lack of fear. I have become too casual in my walk with you. Father, baptize me now in the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Father, from this day forward, I will walk in a holy fear of God. And now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak right now a fresh baptism of the fear of the Lord over this place. Father, forgive us right now for how we have taken your name loosely, how we've gotten casual in your presence. Father, forgive us right now, Father. I pray a baptism of the Holy Spirit over this congregation. A baptism of the Holy Spirit's fear of God. Spirit of God, come now and do what only you can do. Baptize us again. Let's, just right now, let's let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. Oh, da, 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 ma, sa, da, 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 ma. Oh, da, 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 ma, 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 sa, da, da. Right now, the Spirit of God is beginning to move. Fear of God, come and settle upon this place right now. Oh, there you go, right now. The Spirit, like a dove, the Holy Spirit of the fear of God is now lighting upon this place right now. Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do in this place at this moment right now. Holy Spirit, you have free reign in this place right now. May the fear of God settle upon this congregation right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fresh baptism of the fear of God over this place right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 19:9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean. Right now, people are being cleansed of generational curses right now. The fear of God is now coming and washing away generational curses in the name of Jesus. Those curses have gone on for centuries. They're now being broken in the name of Jesus. Right now, the fear of God, Psalm 19:9, which is clean, is now cleaning some men and women of porn addictions in this place right now. The fear of God is settling upon this place. He is washing away porn addiction, substance abuse, generational curses. Demonic strongholds are now being broken through the fear of God in this place right now. Oh, da-da-da-ma-ma. There's a wave of the Spirit right now. You sense that right now? There's a wave of the Holy Spirit coming upon God's people in this place right now. Proverbs 3 says, the fear of God brings healing. Ma'am, your osteoporosis at this very moment is being healed by the power of God. The fear of God is healing your osteoporosis right now. Ma'am, that bad memory of something you did years ago, that memory is now being healed by the fear of God right now. Colitis is being healed right now in the name of Jesus. I don't care what time it is, we got to linger for a few more moments in the presence of God right now. A fresh baptism of the fear of God in this place. Oh, God, have mercy upon us. You can stand if you want. I'm going to kneel in the presence of the King for just a few more moments. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. His presence is in this place right now. Father, I repent. We repent of a lax attitude, of a complacent attitude. Father God, send your fear upon us right now. May the fear of the Lord settle upon this congregation right now. Right now, Spirit. Sing this with me.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Seraphim falling down before thee, who was and is and evermore shall be. And holy, holy, though the darkness hide thee, though the eyes of sinful we may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee. Perfect in power, love and purity.
I want you to listen to me right now. On the authority of the Word of God, those of you who has forsaken your lax attitude toward God, those of us who have forsaken our casual attitude toward God, those of us who've been baptized in a fresh baptism of the fear of God, here's what the Word says. Psalm 34:7. When you leave this place today, when you get in that car, the angel of the Lord is going to be in that car. When you go home tonight, God's angel is going to be standing guard over your home. Now, let me ask you something. If that is true, why should you be afraid? Why should you be anxious? God's fear is over you. The angel of the Lord is around you. That's why I can say to you, Hazak ve'amatz, alta arot ve'arachet, hi emecha Adonai elehecha beho asha telak, which is Hebrew for cross assembly. Y'all be bold. You be strong. Y'all don't be afraid. You don't be terrified of demons, Satan, Iran, nukes, anything. Why? Because the Lord your God is going to be with you this week. Everywhere you go, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen. Walk out of here in the fear of the Lord, and let's go change this world for Jesus Christ.